Hey, we're back on In Focus, News Radio KMAN here at 9:34, and talking with Jason Smith. He's the president and CEO of the Manhattan Area Chamber of Commerce. We're talking state legislative issues. We've talked a lot on dark store theory. Is there some other legislation you guys are keeping an eye on?
Yeah, we're watching a few things. I think and we have for a number of years supported responsible Medicaid expansion. It is a huge issue for rural healthcare providers. Obviously, we want to be responsible, but we felt comfortable that there was an agreement made before session. It looks like that's maybe hit some rocky waters, but we're going to continue to monitor that. That's not only something that our chamber supports, but it's something that's in our metal, which is our partnership with Emporia, Topeka, and Lawrence, that we work on state issues together, but that's been a priority of metal as well. Another one that's a priority of ours and metal is transportation. We're continuing to monitor the transportation bill and the new way the state is planning to do roads and priorities, and so we're interested in that. Probably not as interested as our metal partners because two of those communities have specific projects that are part of that plan. We don't yet, but we are going to continue to look for those kind of projects and get those included. We are obviously always interested in workforce development initiatives because that is a key element of being able to attract and retain jobs. There's a couple that are interesting that we're monitoring. There is one of the challenges that military spouses have when they move, when they get moved to a particular state, is if the spouse has a certificate in something like teaching or nursing, that a lot of times it takes them a really long time to get a new certificate in the state that they've moved to. Those are two areas where there's certainly a shortage of workers is education and healthcare. There is a bill to help expedite some of those reciprocal certifications. Apologize. I know there's a debate about, you know, because we want to make sure we're protecting our people, and we want to make sure that we are instituting a stringent certification process in a number of different occupations. But there's some that just make sense, right? I mean, particularly when you're facing worker shortages, that if we can find a way to make those transitions happen faster, that it will help our help our employers. It also creates a more, I think, conducive environment to getting people to be interested maybe in staying when they get out. You know, right now we're losing the majority of our military folks who retire or exit service while they're in Kansas and decide to move somewhere else. So anything we can do to help that, I think, and help employers is definitely something worth pursuing. There's also another bill that deals with students going to getting technical degrees or going to two-year schools. It's a promise program where if you get a technical degree and come back and stay in Kansas, that maybe you can get some forgiveness in some of your student loans or tuition. Creative ideas like that will keep Kansas kids in Kansas, in demand careers, we see as being something worth pursuing as well. So we're monitoring that bill. And then finally, not necessarily the least important, but something that we're always looking at, anything that we can use as business development tools to attract businesses. Star bonds are up for renewal. We've obviously used star bonds effectively. In fact, when they talk about star bonds, we are the poster child for how well they can be used, while there are other obviously cities who are being used by the opponents as poster childs of why you shouldn't use them. So Manhattan is considered to be the success story of star bonds in Kansas. So we're monitoring that because we have used that effectively. But, you know, there's some other ideas out there. The city of Manhattan has proposed an idea for using the increment in certain districts of income tax, that maybe refunding some of those funds to cities for infrastructure. And we certainly think those kind of creative ideas, which we could use, for instance, in North Campus Corridor, those creative ideas are things that are worth pursuing because there's, you know, we just have to think about making Kansas competitive and more competitive in the marketplace. And, you know, we talked for a minute about the new strategic plan that the state is undertaking, And the first step in that was evaluating where we are currently as a state. And we have slipped tremendously in job growth. We have slipped tremendously in wage growth. And we have slipped tremendously in gross domestic product. And if we don't find a way to bend those trends back upwards, it's going to be a slow ride to whatever the opposite of prosperity is. And and at this point, I would prefer that we can figure out how to turn that back in the other direction. And so it takes creativity. You can't just do things the way you've always done it. You can't do things necessarily the way other states have done it. You have to come up with plans that make sense for Kansans and are effective.
You know, I hear a lot about wage growth and that being an issue. How do you even bridge that? Are there creative ways to do that? You can't just wave a magic wand and make wages go up.
No, I mean, at the end of the day, it's you have to be an attractive place for people to put jobs and people to want to live. I mean, you know, that's it isn't rocket science to come up with the reason or how you make that happen. It is incredibly difficult to come up with the plans and strategies that lead to making that happen. And, you know, moving on to, you know, local issue, we went up in front of the commission this week and talked about housing. And housing, I have never lived in a community where housing wasn't at the forefront of the discussion about what was going on and being able to attract and retain people. It does come up, in my opinion, in Manhattan more than it has in other communities where I've lived. As someone who moved here, I found it to be a little challenging to come into the community and not impossible, but I also have more options maybe than other people do as well. It's something that I think is worth pursuing because I think you have right now, all we have is a lot of anecdotal and speculative information. We know that our housing, as in terms of purchasing housing, is on par with our peers. So in terms of the cost of buying a house is on par with our peers. What we don't know is that are we getting the same house? So I think it's important to understand that process. We also know that our rental rates are significantly higher than our peer communities. And the number I used at the commission meeting, and it came from the Market Street report during our strategic plan, is we're about 9% below the U.S. average in rental rates. As a comparison, we're 22.5% or 23% below the U.S. average in wage rates. So that goes back to the wage issue. And, you know, we had a commissioner who said, that's what we need to be working on. We agree 100%. That's what our whole strategic plan is about. But that doesn't mean that you can't try to identify the challenges that you have in housing as well. And we're not, as part of that process, we weren't advocating, hey, and you should do the study and you should create a ton of programs. But we are advocating the idea we should know what our current situation is and whether you set aside additional funds for this process or not. We are spending millions of dollars every year on roads, sewer, water, all, you know, investing in infrastructure. And if we don't know what the market situation is, I think it would be difficult to make those decisions. So we, you know, our case is, and it was part of the Market Street recommendations too, let's get a in-depth analysis of demand. Let's get an in-depth analysis of what our housing stock is. Let's get an in-depth analysis of the cost, not just cost to acquire and cost to rent, but operations and maintenance and all the things that go along with that. And then we can start making decisions about whether we need to do anything, or maybe all the speculative information that people have is incorrect, and we need to have a campaign then to correct all that information. It's just important, in my opinion, that we spend millions and millions of dollars, it shouldn't hurt to spend a few thousand dollars to understand what you're spending your millions and millions of dollars on. So that's why we took that position. There are people who have alternate viewpoints on that, and I see to some degree, you know, they say if you go down this road, then you're already committing yourself. And we would argue that shouldn't be the case. And so that, you know, maybe the data comes back and you don't need to do anything. But not having the data seems to be a little short-sighted. So we're glad that they voted to at least start that RFQ process. We hope they consider all sizes and scopes and affordability of housing, not just affordable or young professional or senior. It needs to be the full gamut, and we need to understand where we stand as a community overall.
Yeah. Well, that would set a lot of things in motion here. I know that whatever – you mentioned the rental properties here. I've lived in the Kansas City area before, and I know that, you know, a $1,500 apartment in Johnson County compared to Riley County, you're getting two different things entirely.
Yeah. Yeah, but at the same time, you know, the wage rates are different as well. So right. I think understanding the full depth of decisions that people get to make. And, you know, that's what we're talking about is if I'm a young professional or if I just recently graduated from Kansas State and I'm comparing communities, I'm looking at, well, where can I live? Where am I working? What's my wage rate? And at the end of the day, what's my buying power? And I think we have to understand that if you're trying to attract retirees, which we want retirees, this is how much money I'm getting, right? That doesn't change because it's a fixed income. So this is how much money I'm getting, and this is how much I'm having to spend on housing and bills and everything else in several communities, and I'm going to pick the one that is probably the most beneficial. And there's other factors too, right? My proximity to family and those kind of things. But I think we have to understand it's not just about what houses we have. It's the options of the people we want to attract. What options do they have, and how does that housing impact their decision making? And it's a wide range of expenses. It's not just the acquisition and rental. It's all the other things that go along with that. And so we need to understand that, and we as a community and the city and because it affects so many of our decisions on a daily basis. As we said, the Manhattan Chamber, we're committed to adding jobs and adding wages for our residents. What the housing is affects how we're able to do that. It affects so many areas in our community life that having the data, in my opinion, and not just going off anecdotal or speculative results is in my opinion a little short-sighted.
All right, well, let's take a break. We'll come back and we'll wrap up our conversation here with the Manhattan Area Chamber of Commerce President and CEO Jason Smith.